coming at you.
You can put your hand up to get you one to read from, or you can look on with your neighbor next to you. I'm sure they'll be loving to share with you. So hands up if you'd like a Bible. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you must say, if you hold firm to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I pass on to you as of the first importance, that Christ died for our sins, same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. This is God's word.
All right, thank you, Ray. Good morning, everyone. It's so good to be here on Easter Sunday and a beautiful, beautiful day out there. I hope you're having a great weekend. My name is Matt. I'm one of the other pastors here at CPE Church. And, you know, I just want to welcome you again, especially if you're new, you're visiting with us this morning. It's so great to have you here. Now, I'm just going to take a few moments just to talk through the significance and the importance of Easter Sunday, not just for Christians, but actually for our whole world. But first, I actually want to ask you this question. Does anybody love sci-fi movies or sci-fi television shows? Yeah? A few fans out there. You know, I love sci-fi television for myself as well, because one of the things that you get to do with sci-fi television, sci-fi movies, is you can just invent stuff, right? You can invent stuff that doesn't yet exist to solve problems that you can't solve right now. Now, one of the things that's a very big theme in all of science fiction is this idea that maybe in the future we'll be able to transcend our human bodily limitations. Do you know what I mean? Like eventually all of our bodies, you know, they decay, they get problems, we need medicine and surgery, and we need all these other things to kind of just to keep our bodies going as long as possible. Well, there's this idea in science fiction that goes by the name of transhumanism. Has anyone heard of transhumanism before? It's sort of this idea that maybe in time with technology and science, we'll just be able to replace all the parts of us that break and fall apart and, you know, get these biomechanical limbs later on. And you know what? Your heart starts to fail. Maybe one day we're going to just replace that with a mechanical heart or a mechanical kidney or a mechanical liver. And over time, I'm just imagining this world in which we just kind of start replacing more and more bits of us until we're kind of mostly machine. Now, part of me doesn't mind the kind of idea of that. Like, imagine the upgrades you could put into your body. You know, maybe super strength, you know, based on those robotic limbs. Or super speed. Or maybe, you know, I'd like to kind of have the upgrades that Iron Man has. He's got these little boosters so he can just, like, fly around and get to places. Like, just imagine a world, like, yeah, where you could just booster around the place. But there'd be problems there as well, wouldn't there? You know, knowing me, I'd probably just forget to like plug myself in at night, and then I don't know what happens when you forget to charge yourself. I don't know. Now, at the extreme end of that is that this idea. Well, maybe at some point you'd just be able to download your brain into a hard disk and then kind of just upload that somewhere and sort of just live forever in this digital afterlife. Now, I don't know if you're still you, if you kind of just turn your brain into some data and all those sorts of questions. But the sci-fi transhuman thing speaks to the fact that we all have a problem. We all have a problem that we'd like to solve. And that problem is that none of us will live forever. It's a problem that, you know, again, you kind of don't really think about too much, especially if you're in the younger, you're in the first half of your life, you're probably not too much thinking or worrying about that stuff. But let me tell you something. You know, I've realized recently that I'm coming up to the second half of my life, right? In the next year or two, according to life expectancy of someone living in Australia, I'm just about at the halfway point of my life. Now, I find that kind of fascinating little thought for myself, kind of thinking, so I may have less time left on this earth than I've had already in my life. Now, that's just kind of based on the law of averages. In fact, chances are maybe I won't even get that far. Maybe I'm actually 70 or 80% through my life. Who's to know? See, friends, the truth is that you and I won't live forever. We have a very limited time here on earth, and especially seeing my kids growing up, you realize how fast time flies. Our whole world lives in this problem, with this kind of issue that we won't live forever, that death stalks us just around the corner. But let's flip that around for a moment. Imagine that we did solve the problem of death. Imagine that you could live life knowing, not having to worry, not having to be anxious about your life, about your health, about your future. Imagine if you didn't have to worry about that. It'd be an incredible thing. It'd be a very freeing thing. It'd be a very liberating thing. Well, friends, it may be that we're just hanging on, clinging on, that maybe that technology will get there in our lifetime. And I suspect even if they come up with something, it's not going to be that great anyway. But there is an alternative to waiting on the claims of technology and science. And that hope, the thing that is that alternative, it's this. It's Easter Sunday. It's Easter Sunday. You see, central to the Christian worldview is that Jesus Christ, 2,000 and a bit years ago, rose from the dead. That he didn't stay dead. And that there has been somebody who managed to figure out a way through this problem of death. Now, as soon as I say that, of course, you know, the questions start chiming in, you know, I mean, how's that even possible? Is it really true? That was a long time ago. That's not something that maybe I saw. Maybe the skeptical part of our brain just kicks in automatically. Now, the thing is that those who kind of recorded these events, those who talked about them in the Bible, they knew this. It's not like they were kind of just ancient and a bit simple or a bit superstitious and kind of just believe that sort of stuff happens all the time. No, in fact, Paul the Apostle, one of the original writers who recorded what we know about Jesus' life, his death and his resurrection, said this. He said, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. See what he's saying? He's just acknowledging off the bat. Man, if the resurrection is just a myth, if that is a lie, then what? The Christian faith is all in vain. All that Christians believe was a lie. In fact, your faith, you're still in your sins. None of that stuff that God says that he's done for you is true. In fact, we who have kind of gone on preaching about it are liars. In fact, what he says is we should all really go home and do this. If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now, that's true, isn't it? If there's not much beyond this life, well, whatever, 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever in time that you've got, go and enjoy yourself as best as you can, for tomorrow we die. At some stage, death will come knocking for you. But of course, Paul's not actually arguing this, is he? In fact, he's actually arguing that actually there's good reason to believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And if Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, then maybe there is hope for all of us. And this is what he says. He says this. You can believe it on the basis of the eyewitnesses. This is what he says. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me as the one abnormally born. See what he's saying? He's saying that actually this wasn't just kind of something that happened in a back lot somewhere that maybe one person saw and then kind of made up a story and everyone believed it. No, he's saying that as one of the earliest accounts is that actually there were multiple witnesses. In fact, there were hundreds of witnesses, people who saw Jesus walking around, and actually they saw the marks, they saw the nails in his wrists and in his legs. Now, could it be that they're all just lying? Could it be that they're making this up? Maybe you kind of got, it's one of those rumors that just kind of got away from you. Well, the second evidence is actually that the disciples and all those who witnessed this were willing to believe this to the point of death. That actually, that those who actually believe that Jesus died and he rose again, they were willing to kind of teach that and preach that to others to the point where they were persecuted for it, where they were marginalized for it. And in fact, most of the early leaders of the church were martyred. They were killed for it. See, to me, that's not something that you do if you're kind of just believing in a rumor or a myth or something that maybe you weren't too sure about. To me, that's the conviction of someone who is 100% convinced that they have seen something extraordinary and that the world needs to know. Now, there's lots of historians who've kind of accounted for Jesus and accounted for his life, his death, and for the claims around his resurrection. Now, we're not going to sit here in a history lecture to hear all about that. There's a few people you can look up, but we've actually got a resource available that's going to be available outside there this morning that you can read up some more on and put together some of the pieces. What do historians actually say about those events and about the people who believed in those events? Come and check out this book. It's by Rebecca McLaughlin. She's a lecturer over at Cambridge University. She knows her stuff. You can go and check it out there, and you can weigh it up for yourself. Instead, I actually really wanted to ask the question this morning, what if the resurrection did happen? What if the resurrection did happen? What if what Paul says and what Christians have believed is true? What would that mean for us? What would that mean for our world? Well, here's what Paul says, that if the resurrection is true, he said this, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him." See, Paul's claim is this. If what we're saying is true about the resurrection, that Jesus died and he rose again from the dead 3 days later, what he's saying is that Jesus has done the impossible, that he has come back from the dead and he is paving the way for others to come after him. Just as death came into our world through the first man, Adam, so now life beyond the grave comes through the man, Jesus Christ. See, he's saying that the powers of death and darkness do not get to have the last say in our world. That there is somebody who has pierced through that barrier, that insurmountable barrier of death, and has come and emerged through the other side and is promising to take along those who believe and belong to him. That is the claim of what is, if the resurrection is true. And see, friends, I reckon that means, if it's true, that Jesus, his death, his resurrection stands as this beacon of hope, a light shining in the darkness of our world, the brokenness of our world, the death, disease, sickness, the things that we all will have to experience, the hardships of this life, the suffering, that there is hope, that God can and has done something about it. That he sees through the suffering and the darkness. In fact, he enters into it. And he raises Jesus from the dead as the first of those whom God will raise who belong to Jesus. See, for the Christians, for those who wrote the Bible, They believed in this, in fact, believed to the point of death. They believed that actually there is something wrong with this world and that God is acting to do something about it by raising Jesus from the dead. And when I look around the world, it's not hard to see just the pain and the suffering, disease and death that's all around us. It's everywhere. You know, I want to tell you a little bit about that. Here in our church, you know, we lost a brother, a good friend of ours, Ray, last year. But I also want to tell you about a story of someone who is very special to us, okay? See, tomorrow to the day is the day, it's the 7th anniversary of the birth and the death of our daughter, Brianna. She was born with a body that couldn't support life outside of the womb. And it was hard, it was a really tragic thing for us. But let me tell you what death does for you. It stops you believing and anchoring all your hope in all these things that will pass away. All the money in the world, the popularity, the work, the career. You know what death does for that? It makes you look through that and it asks you that question. What is the real anchor of hope in your life? See, what that made me realize is that actually you can't go through life without having some kind of hope. And if that hope is just superficial, if that's a paper-thin hope, well then when something comes along, whether it's a death, depression, divorce, something comes along that kind of pierces through your life, you will look around for something to hang on to. See, Brianna was a tragic and sad moment, and tomorrow we'll remember that. But today I want us to kind of think through this question. Where is your hope? Where is the anchor that you will cling on to when whatever life throws at you will throw you and blow you around? See, I'm a firm believer that that hope is Easter Sunday. That no amount of technology can ultimately starve off death for you or for your friends or for your family. But Easter Sunday is the promise. It's the beacon of hope that says that maybe there is something. There is something that you can cling on to. That there is something more. That there is more to this life. That our life is more than just our flesh and bones. That actually Jesus came and walked as flesh and bone, and he experienced death, and he was able to triumph over it. See, friends, I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I don't know what's coming up in the future for you. I don't know whether it's going to be smooth sailing for you, or whether there's something just around the corner for you. I don't know whether your life right now is just an absolute dumpster fire and you are looking around for something beyond what you have right now. Friends, I know this, that Jesus has given a hope, maybe the only hope in this world, the only anchor in which you can cling on to, that even death will not shake. See, friends, hope is not in the form of some digital upload or biomechanical body or some medicine doing something amazing. Our hope is that someone who lived in flesh and bone died and rose again from the dead. You see, the resurrection of Jesus is not just a fairy tale, it's not just a myth. In fact, it's the ultimate hope. It's the ultimate beacon of hope into a world that is suffering and yes, for each one of us, we will all eventually die. See, friends, I believe that when you have that hope, you can withstand anything. You can conquer anything. It will transform your life in ways that you cannot imagine. And friends, this morning, as we celebrate Easter Sunday, we are celebrating that hope. We're celebrating the hope for me and for you and for everyone that actually in this world under the shadow of death, that there is something more. And we would love you to consider that this morning. If you're not a believer, you're not a Christian, you're kind of not too sure about this, don't grab that book, go and do some more investigation. Come and do more thinking about that for yourself. But what I'm going to pray in a moment as I speak to God is to ask that he would actually bring that hope to bear in our lives so that whatever comes for us, whatever might come, we have hope in the midst of that. Why don't you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we know that we live in a world of sadness, sickness, despair, and yes, death. But Father, we also can stand here on this Easter Sunday and remember that you are not a God who didn't care about that problem. That you entered into this world as flesh and bone. That you experienced the hardships and the limitations of this life. And you gave us a hope and a purpose beyond the limitations of the life and the body that we have. And that you speak a word of hope through the cross and through Jesus' resurrection. That we are more. That we, too, can walk in hope because of what Jesus has done for us. And Lord, might we seriously consider these claims. If not true, then we can ignore it and enjoy our lives. But if true, Father, it changes everything. So might you help us this morning to remember and celebrate and to consider these claims, that maybe this is the hope and the anchor in the life that we need. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, friends, we have a little course that we have called Life Explored, and we want to actually invite you along to that. If that's something that you want to consider more this morning, here's a little clip from that.